Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. You know the night's magic seems to whisper and hush. You know the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. My love, can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just travel inside. Then I know how much you want me that you can't hide. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I make some more romance with you, my love?
Night for a moon dance, a night of Tupelo honey, brown-eyed girls, and crazy love. The familiar strains of Van Morrison were the intro for this night. He is a singer-songwriter from Northern Ireland who first emerged onto the music scene in the 60s with a group called BEM, with power hits like Gloria and Here Comes the Night. Let's travel into the mystic with love, respect, and poetry. I'm with Spirit, and this is a team of voices. And tonight we're going to dance by the light of the moon. So with no further ado, let's get it started. It's going to be a wild night. Let's go. Okay. Who we got on the line? Anybody ready to read some poetry?
I got a whole lineup going for you here. You have Rock and Tour.
Okay.
Hey, well.
You have Hatter.
I love it.
You have Lynn Gutierrez.
Hi, I will. Hi, everybody.
I love it, I love it, I love it. Welcome. Let's dance. Come on, poetry.
You have Xylophonic Blue.
I love that name. Hey.
And we have area code 707. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller.
This is Irish Rose.
Hey, Rose.
Hi, Irish Rose.
Irish Rose.
Hey,
A rose is still a rose by any other name. It's so good to hear your voice. I haven't heard from you in forever. Hi, Rose.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Let's not get into the Johnny Mathis scheme of things. But anyway, do you have a poem for us?
Yes, I do. I do.
Good.
Don't keep it to yourself.
I have one quick question, though. Does anyone that's on the line right now have a time crunch? Anybody need to do a read and go? Sometimes Hal's on a break.
I have a time crunch.
I have to be off the air in 2.5 hours. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, that works. Everybody else is good?
I should have an hour, Deborah.
Okay. All right. Well, then
about an hour.
We'll go ahead and start. The first caller, it's up to you. I usually go by the studio. You can see the board. I labeled all the names for you, so if you want to go ahead and do them in that order, I'll grab the links for you.
Okay, let me jump up on the board for the main group chat page, and let's see what we have. Have you posted it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I better refresh. Huh? So, what I have is... Oh, boy. Wait a minute. Experiencing technical difficulties here. Okay, we have Deborah Lee, the first poem, Cure for a Foul Mood by Raconteur. No guest. Is that the first one up?
It sure is, and Rack gives us sound clouds, so I'm going to push the button. Oh. If you say so, are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay, here we go.
Cure for a Foul Mood by Raconteur. It doesn't happen every day, but if you ask nicely, a pretty bird might sing, momentarily transporting us to nirvana, where the bond of our friendship means everything. You wouldn't know it just to look at her, remnants of a little girl inside. Her face may appear slightly weathered, a side effect of all the tears she's cried. Her mind and her heart set her apart from anyone I've ever known. And when she bleeds her emotions onto the page, it always cuts me to the bone. From the beginning, I never quite knew what to say. I'm sure as hell no singer, but I aspire to be there at the end of the day, rooted by the resonance of words that linger. The seeds of creativity flourish, bathed in the warmth of her smile, exposing undeniable truth seen through her eyes, allowing me to soar like a bird, if only for a while.
Oh,
and
wow. Wow. Okay, let me say this. I don't know how familiar some of you are with my personal preferences for poetry and what really strikes me as the heart of a poem, but I've always been a big fan of the closing stanza being the heart of the poem itself. And in this case, it's certainly true. This just flushes with creativity and just personifies the entire poem, in my opinion. The seeds of creativity flourish, bathed in the warmth of her smile, exposing undeniable truth seen through her eyes, allowing me to soar like a bird, if only for a while. If that's not beautiful, I don't know what is. Any comments, anyone? Yeah.
It's beautiful. I like the way, Lynn, I like the way that he omitted the I in the bird. It's so special. Like, he did it twice at the beginning, pretty bird, and the last line.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Yeah, like, and it's the reading of it was so, like, it was amazing. You just hung on to every word.
Here's an insider insight into this poem. The way he spells pretty bird in the first stanza.
Oh, yes. Without the E and the I,
Yeah, we all know this person. We all know this person.
Oh.
And that sounds to me like a tribute to a poet who is a very fine and elegant and eloquent poet who we all love. I can't imagine that I'm wrong, but hey, please correct me if I am. But
no,
there it is.
For sure.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. I love Pretty Bird, too. She's a wonderful, wonderful poet. And if this is somehow a tribute to her, believe me, I'm inside it already. This is a beautiful poem. Any other comments?
Yeah, are you, is it that you're trying to hear, you tried to learn the words from a bird song?
Yeah.
Is that basically rock?
No. I had written a poem. It was supposed to be a parody poem, and I'm able to read my stuff only because of I do it on like the pause button, and it's really hard for me. And it's very frustrating, too, because, you know, I used to be able to read stuff straight through without a problem. But, you know, because my eyes are so bad, I got to do it on the – so I have no chance, really, of trying to sing a song unless I memorize every word. So I actually sent it to her, and she recorded it for me. She sang it for me. So, you know, it was a touching thing. So that's where that part came from. But the rest is just, you know, in talking to her and getting to know her, you know.
Let me tell you, my friend, you couldn't have a better friend in poetry. She is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any more comments on this poem? One more, and then we have to move on. Okay?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, Rack. I see that she put it on her bird songs list, which is totally understandable. And your reads are always flawless. It would have been cool to hear you sing it, but maybe sometime. But no, the details are very touching, and I agree with everything that everybody said. You couldn't ask for a prettier or sweeter bird than our pretty bird.
Aww.
Great poem.
All right. I love the bird songs. Who's doing? Is that you, Hatter? Is that you? Okay, pardon me for coughing. I'm sorry. Let's move on. What are we going to do next? Irish Rose. Okay. So.
Okay.
Who's reading this?
I'm reading it. Irish.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay.
Good, 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 good. Let's go.
All right. This is called Dark Blues by Irish Rose. And it goes like this. What is it about the pain of the goodbye that steals the heart and plucks out the eye? That looses tears, flooding the fountains of night, raging down soft cheeks, beneath that dream dust, starlight. Starlight. Then also slowly, becoming a fierce, soft raging song that has never been sung, and pain's purple voice, a bell has been rung, echoing in and across the soul. A story is lost, now it's torn, as love and grief, nostalgia, vain hand. Beyond the hurt, love's words dissolve, dying as to be, then becoming nothing, oh, nothing but a shadow left. And a bowing bruised melody, a hard harmony that lingered long, now only faded dust. Left inside, my cold and hollow heart.
Okay. That's absolutely beautiful. I'm not going to steal the thunder here. I'm going to let other people comment on this one because being the host, I could take every single one and make my voice heard, but I want to hear from everybody else. What are your thoughts on this? How about you, Hatta? What do you think of this poem?
This is well done. First of all, when you want to keep a certain feeling for the reader to experience as you're reading, you choose your rhyme words or your end line words very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it very well. The words song, long, lust, once, pain, blues, rung, song, starlight, night, eyes. So they're the right ending ones to keep that from one transfer to another. That was very well done.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
A beautiful write. Raconteur, are you here? Do you want to comment on this poem? Have we lost Raconteur?
No,
okay.
It takes me a minute to get off of mute. Have issues over here, noising. I don't want to be too noisy.
That's okay.
I really,
make your noise heard. That's good.
I'm really enjoying Rose's poetry. I haven't like stalked her and dug into her stuff too much, but you know the stuff that I've heard on the shows and whatnot, and the stuff that I get to hear are always beautiful. And she's got a definite connection to the words that she uses. Like Hatta mentioned, you could feel the emotion in what she reads, and the imagery that she conveys is always stunning. This is gorgeous, Rose.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Okay. Well, let me take a brief minute to comment on this because Deborah has informed me. I'm a first-time host on this show. So, yeah, I'm a virgin. Please treat me gently. Okay. I should absolutely comment on every poem. So I would love to comment on this poem. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. The use of language in this is just heartrending. It's truly heartrending, and it really sings to the soul. I think all of us have traveled down these roads, and we've all been to this point in our life, and maybe we get past it, maybe we never do. But even if we do get past it and go on to further advances, there's always that painful memory in our background that sings to us, and we always write about it if we're poets. And I think this was a beautiful example of how this is truly a non sequitur. It's absolutely every poet that has ever written is going to remember these moments and relate them to their readers. And I think it's a wonderful poem. Okay.
Vein pain. Is that what it is that hurts so much? It's vein pain.
Vein pain, baby.
Vein pain to me is why did this happen to me? Why did this happen
That's
to me?
Because
you
I
know
believed
what?
It.
Yeah, maybe you should ask yourself, why did this happen to them? Was it part of me that caused it to happen to them? That's just my thinking on the.
Pain.
Yeah, but that's a beautifully written poem, and I think it's wonderful. Anybody else want to come out while we still got a minute?
I just wanted to say lots of beautiful lines. My favorite is, in pain's purpled voice, a bell has been rung. I love that line personally. That was my favorite. But lots of beautiful lines. It's great.
Yeah, that's
Thank
a
you.
Great line.
Thank you.
That's
Appreciate
a great line. Absolutely. Okay. So we have a poem by Lynn Gauthier. If I'm not saying that right, then please feel free to smack me in the face with a herring.
As close as you can get. It's good.
Okay. So this is called French Ladies. Who's reading, please?
I'll read it, Lynn.
Okay.
French Ladies. Ladies from France, renowned for their glamour, parade designer dresses. All day long, all night long, like gazelles in stilettos, looking fit, looking fab. It's a mystery and conundrum how successful they are to maintain girlish figures. While we punish ourselves trying to lose every pound, it's not right, it's not fair. I've decided to see for myself, take the next red-eye flight, meet the ladies for breakfast, spend a day à la Parisienne, starting off with café au lait and a big buttery croissant.
Croissant.
Rush to this shop and this bakery, one errand, then another. What a joy to sit down for a bite. It wouldn't be a meal without wine and a baguette, s'il vous plaît. Artful pastries, sublime masterpieces. My day is done. I'm back, crossing the Atlantic. What have I learned from my day with the ladies? They'll buy one croissant or a chocolate, not a box. They love friends to laugh and chat at the table. They'll nibble their pastry, savoring each single bite. They prefer to shop for fashion than for food. End poem.
Okay. Savoir-faire. This is beautifully written. I'm of the opinion that a woman who is beautiful inside doesn't have to be ultra thin and wear all the latest fashions. You know, I mean, you're a beautiful person inside. Just let your flag fly and just be who you are. And men who really appreciate women for who they are inside, you got to love their minds. You got to love their thoughts. You got to love their feelings. Actually, one of my favorite painters, Rubens, loved to paint very large ladies.
Yeah.
That was the catch of the day in his time, and they were considered very sexy. So who's to say what's sexy and what's not? But I love this poem for that very reason. And you know what? Eat all the damn pastries you want. Eat all the baguettes you want. And by all means, if you want to savor the wine, drink to your heart's content. Beautiful poem. I love it. So, Hatter. Yes,
yeah,
I
pulled up the wrong poem. Let me pull it up and read. Catching up. Wasn't able to follow.
So you are you on the right link now?
I'm reading it now. I grabbed the wrong poem for some reason. Sorry.
That's okay.
When given the choice of grabbing something, you should have grabbed the French lady, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Voulez-vous coucher?
Come on now. Let's not go there.
I didn't.
How about Hal? You going to comment tonight, Hal?
There we go. Let's hear a new voice. Come on. Let's hear a new voice. Come on, comment on this poem. Please.
Okay, I'm back on. Sorry, that mute button. Actually, having actually been to the French Riviera and to Nice when I was younger in the military, I definitely agree with the, definitely how they act within the cafes, how they talk, how they proceed, within their culture. So I really think that this poem was definitely on point. I think, I did definitely enjoy the viewpoint that she took.
Thank you.
Yeah, I did too. You know, my wife is a, she went to France for a year when she was in college to study French. And she speaks pretty fluent French, and I have to really twist her arm to speak French to me because I find it so very sensitive. But when she does, ooh la la, I just love when people incorporate a la Francais into their poetry because I just think it's so, so wonderful. It's one of the romance languages, for crying out loud. What is it, French, Italian, Spanish? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's a great poem, great poem. Do we have time for another comment on this poem, or are we moving on?
That's up to you. I would like to comment, and then we can get Blue to read. But I, for one, oh, my goodness, you have such a beautiful reading voice.
Yes.
I'm having
fun.
Yeah,
and I like the – it's a mystery and – conundrum, how successfully they are to maintain the girlish figures. I say, why bother? Just let your beauty shine. Eat what you want. Do what you want. Because no matter what you do, you can't make everybody happy. And who needs to? You know, if you're happy, that's what counts.
Exactly.
I can't emphasize enough how excited I am that you called. I hope you call often.
I remember being the best man at one of my closest friend's weddings, and his wife was absolutely obese, but she was a beautiful soul inside and out. And that teaches you one of the most important lessons in life. And I don't think I need to expound on that. Your beauty is who you are inside. And, hey, if you like French pastry or Big Macs from McDonald's or whatever, if you're a wonderful person, you have every right to be who you are and enjoy it and live to the fullest. So without further ado, let's go to Xylophonic Blues with this poem, A Butterfly's Touch. Who's reading, please? Oh,
Actually,
do you
want
to read
it,
or do you want me to push on your SoundCloud?
Yeah. I'm actually going to read it.
Cool.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to read it. Okay, cool. All right. A butterfly's touch. Butterfly's touch flutters on cream cherry cheeks. The feeling, flightless constellations, summer evening, twilight scope dimness falling upon us, bodies absorbing destiny's gentle breeze, telling me it's a tunnel of wonder, not a just myriad of light. Droplets upon horizons transpire, honeysuckle lotus adorn us, upon a guided attraction we unite. A seeping stream ripples quietly, accentuates into vitality's sea, touching moments between you and I, paradise poetic movement of space. Your essence of a prism burning faith. Spoken words spill feelings of vibrancy felt from your lips onto mine. Obsidian doves dressed in silhouette light. Night Sangria Staccato, Pomegranate by Candlelight, Rhythmic Drums, Gurgling Boulders Listen, A Precipice of Summer's New Wine, Solstice Shadows, Aurora Smoke and Fire Reef, A Garden of Cobalt Glaciers, Mountains Reflected, Thoughts, Flame of Dusk, Eyes Pruning, The End of the Day's Golden Sun, Charcoal Sky Swirl as We Submerge Ourselves in Sapphire Parchments, Upon Turquoise Sunset's Highlight, Our Valentines Uncloaked as We Walk Unmasks This Last Mile Home. End poem.
Wow. Okay. My first response is, wow, this is beautifully written. I'm particularly fond of the third stanza here. Spoken words spill feelings of vibrancy felt from your lips into me. That's a poem all by itself. That's just, you could write that as a one-liner and people would love it. Obsidian doves rest in silhouettes. Night sangria staccato. Pomegranate by candlelight. Rhythmic drums. Gurgling boulders. Listen. A precipice of summer's new wine. Solstice shadows. Aura smoke and fire reap. A garden of cobalt glaciers. Mountains reflected. Have you been reading science fiction by Ray Bradbury? This is just wonderful stuff. It's wonderful. It's romantic, but it also speaks of otherworldly experience to me. Am I off base here by saying that?
My poetry is very abstract and it's very, very layered. I don't know if you've really read me before, but if you go and you look at my other poems, I'm very, very abstract. And this is actually a very short one for me. I usually write about 300 words per poem, so I usually write a lot longer. But this was actually something that was supposed to be a part of a contest for Vamp Dixon. So that actually ended, and I missed it by 1 minute posting this poem.
Oh, God, I hate when that happens. I really hate when that happens.
Right. I saw the contest at work, and I really tried to put a lot of things together when I was at work thinking about things, words and that kind of stuff. And then I was able to put something together really quick, but then I didn't get a chance to post it until,
if it's any solace, your poem has been read, felt, and adored here. And I can speak for myself, but I think I speak for others. We absolutely adore this. What say you, Hatter?
Yeah, I got dropped and had to call back, so I only caught part of it. What I heard was very. I wouldn't be fair for me to say it. Let me go back and read it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I love honesty above everything else. I think honesty is the basics of trust, and I feel like that's a wonderful thing for you to say. Appreciate that. How about Rakunter? You're still here?
Oh yeah, I'll be here until I get kicked off.
You're not going to get kicked off. Please.
Don't say that. Blog Talk will take offense. I like the way Blue writes, and I noticed exactly what he said. He can be abstract, but the thing I enjoy about him is that it's not random words. You know, people talk about just, you know, word vomit or words on the page. He can create a theme with what he does and string it together, and then if you pay attention to what he's actually saying, it strings together and it makes sense. And that's what I enjoy about the way he writes. The connection isn't always obvious, but you know it's there. And if you look, you'll definitely come across it. It just takes a little thought. And you know, we tend to be lazy, and you know, Americans, however you want to put it, we like things fed to us and handed to us. That's why we're so overweight, whatever else you want to attribute to us. So, but I appreciate this, Blue. I like the direction to go. You do things like that, using pomegranate for red and things like that. Some more obvious things that actually add clues to the more abstract. And you know, again, the longer you spend reading it and go back and read it again, which is probably part of the reason why, at least I would imagine, that you'd be right some of this the way that you do, is to encourage people to come back and try and make sense of it. You know, it's really an intelligent write, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I like that, and I appreciate the fact that you stated something that I have had prevalent in my mind ever since I've been writing poetry online, is that a lot of people will just read over what you've said, and they don't take time to absorb it. They just move along. They may not even like or comment on it. So it's quite disappointing. But those who really do take the time to read you and say, hey, you know what, let me read this again and see what it's really saying, those are the ones who come back and like it and comment on it, and you become friends with those people. So, yeah, I really, really appreciate your take on this. What about you, Irish Rose? What did you feel about this poetry? Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell.
Rose had to go. And in your studio, you now have Wayne and Sweet Pea as well.
Okay.
Wayne.
Welcome, Wayne. Welcome, Wayne Jett, and welcome, Sweet Pea. Oh, Sweet Pea. Come on and dance with me. Okay.
Sweet.
I'm happy to have you both here. Irish Rose, do you want to comment on that last poem?
Rose dropped.
She dropped.
She hung up.
Oh, dear. Okay. Wayne or Sweet Pea, did you get a chance to read that poem?
No, I didn't
have
get
not.
A chance. I didn't
hear
it.
It's
that's
Lynn
okay.
Here.
That's okay.
I dropped too, and I had to come back in, and I caught most of it and reread it real quick. But I love this rich imagery, and I love the turquoise is my favorite color, so I loved reading Upon Turquoise Sunsets Highlight. That was a
yeah.
And the last line, it was powerful. Our Valentine's uncloaked as we walk unmasked this last mile home. That's a beautiful way of wrapping up the poem, you know, walking this last mile home.
Thank you.
Yes.
I thought that was wonderful.
I see we have Big Verge on the chat room. Has Big Verge called in?
He's actually overseas. If you didn't send him a link, he's probably not going to call in.
Okay, he said he might call in, but anyway, okay, where are we going next? I'm seeing a link from my show.
Because he changed his mind at the last moment, so his will be there in 1 second, and there you go.
Okay, this is a Hatter poem. I can't and won't and sometimes don't. Take it away, Hatter.
All right, let me refresh. It didn't pop up yet. Come on. There it is. And I'll let you, after reading this, you guys tell me what you think the prompt was. It was like this. I can't and won't and sometimes don't. And I shouldn't think I'm done. I'd be amazed if you didn't play, but it might have come undone. She would have seen, she would have been here too if it weren't for you. It's 9 o'clock in the shade. 'Tis in fact that's true. It's got to be you. Now she's never going to stay.
Oh, have you got a crush on Angelina Jolie? I'm just kidding. I missed the whole point of the poem, but I think it's really cool. I could equate this to many, many things in my life, but my life is not what is important here. I want to hear from everybody else here. Yeah. Wayne, what do you think of this poem?
Yes, sir, up here. Yes, sir. Nice to hear your voice again there, Wolf Spirit. It's been a while.
Yeah, man, I love you, man. I've missed you so much. Go ahead and tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, I think this poem is very contradictory. It says, I can't, I won't, and I sometimes don't, and I shouldn't think I'm done. It's pretty much a contradictory poem. It says at the bottom of an AN that it's Miss K's contradictory contest. So it's, he fits the point, fits the contest very well. Good job with this little brevity there.
Headers? Yeah. It was, how many contractions can you use?
Okay. Hands up. Hands up. How many people have entered a contest and not even gotten a comment? Hands up.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A good one.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Rose and see what she thinks of Hatter's poem.
Your heart, she left.
She left. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Sweet Pea, I know you're here. You just clocked in. What do you think of this poem?
First, I had to unmute.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Am I there now? First off, it's Hatter. So we all know I'm in love with Hatter. But I don't know how many contractions you can use because I can't say and I don't say and I won't say. I've never counted.
There's some good ones in there.
Yeah, there are.
That's a natural contraction, she did.
But you ate and didn't use no sweet potato. But anyway, I think...
I don't like French fried potatoes, fried green tomatoes. Okay, so.
But I love it. She's been there too. If it weren't for you, it's 9 o'clock in the shade. I like when you go nonsensical, but you still.
Yeah,
write.
That's what it is too. So.
Yeah.
It was all about the contractions.
And I love it. Because you met the prompt, but it's still nonsensical. Mm. I think you're drinking a little too much mushroom tea.
I have to defer to politeness as it suggests that it was nonsense. But, yeah, I think you're right. Deborah Lee, I'm going to call on you. What do you think of Hatter's poem?
I think he did a clever job of filling it up with contractions, especially in so few lines. And I also see that it's a gold winner, so congratulations on the gold.
There we go.
We always love our gold winners. Yes, we love our gold winners. Absolutely precious to every one of us who read our beloved poet friends. Fantastic. Okie dokie. Anybody else want to comment before we quickly move on?
I thought the first two lines were brilliant. I thought the first two lines made more sense and were so cute. I can't and won't and sometimes don't. I like the and then the second line, you can't really figure out how it makes sense with the first, but it's because it's not said or explained. But it's so cute, and I shouldn't think I'm done. Well, done what? And how does that link to the first? But it's so cute. I love the first two lines the best. I think they're really cute.
Yeah.
That's
I agree.
That's supposed to make sense. Yeah.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I've written a few nonsensical poems, and you know what? They go nowhere. I've never won gold for one of my nonsensical poems. I think people just can't figure me the hell out. But anyway, there it is. Oops, did I go over the PG-13 border? I'm sorry. We have Deborah Lee up with. We have Deborah Lee up with. You are the sun, I am the moon. Play me. I feel a Neil Diamond vibe coming on. Let's see what we got going on here.
I am my sun.
Yeah, there is definitely a Neil Diamond vibe, but here we go.
Love on the rocks, ain't no real surprise. Okay.
All right. Okay, you are the sun, I am the moon, play me. Writing this song with moist watercolors, the symphony on parchment is mine. Neon notes stripe the page, sing the song center stage as tangerine and periwinkle shine. Fingertips tickle the chords and stroke keys. They strum plucking heartstrings, too. And the pictures that march in my brain as curves arch flash the Kodachrome snapshots in view. You whisper the bridge, then the chorus, sliding palms on flesh as voice plays. Breathe spice musk cologne from arousal homegrown, making signatures on naked displays. Now stiffen the staff, busting pitches, scale the clefs, tapping treble and bass. Pound out the tunes, sailing pulse to the moon, orchestrating the climax wrapped in my embrace, commanding the grin that you leave on my face. You are the words. I am the tune. Play me.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan of Neil Diamond. I think your poem carries his message very well, and it also carried your message very well. I'm like, hello, my friend, hello. Just thought you need to know. I think about you all the time. Yes, this is beautifully done. I love this. I understand that Neil Diamond is not healthy these days. I'm kind of worried about him. Has anybody heard anything updates on Neil Diamond?
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, last time I saw him, he's not able to hit those high notes, those commanding notes
yeah.
that he used to.
Oh, so he's reaching his September morn, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway. Hatter, while I've got you here, let me hear your thoughts on Deborah's poem here.
Deborah's, it's like, there's a reason Deborah is the double winner of the paint out in Florida that we participate with. She has a way of piecing together the phrases of the senses like nobody else. The periwinkle is a trademark now. This periwinkle.
Periwinkles? Yeah, I like periwinkles. I used to find periwinkles on the reeds outside my house, on reeds outside my, right off my pier when we lived on riverfront property. Yeah. For real. Beautiful.
Outstanding.
Beautiful.
Outstanding. Just
beautiful visual.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Sweet pea.
A ghost note I cannot be for a moment with you. A high C note I could scream. A sensual, beautiful song, Deborah Lee.
Wow. We danced until the night was a brand new day. Two lovers acting like lovers in a play. Okay. How about this? Do we have Raconteur still on?
You do?
Raconteur, Brack.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Yeah. Give us your critique on Deborah's poem.
Oh, I'm a Deb fan, you know. I got to remember she's not flirting with me when I hear her stuff. I really like the musical references, and they're very very enticing. They draw you in, and they're, you know, flirtatious and beautiful at the same time. I appreciate the wording that you picked, it's very relatable and very enjoyable, Deb.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly agree.
Frank has arrived.
Can you hear the train in the background? I live right by the train tracks. Do you hear the whistle?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. So you're here for the ride, okay? And it might go very well with my poem. But we can do another one if you like. Yeah, sure.
Frank's here.
Hello there, my friends.
Hello.
Frankfurter.
Good to be on. Hello there, Lane.
Glad you're
here.
Oh,
my God.
Hello, Frank.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to hear your voice. I love your accent. Love your accent.
Oh, thank you very much.
You know. I spent many of my early years in Europe, and I have never forgotten those roots. And when I hear somebody who has any accent from Europe, I'm automatically transfixed on their voice. What do you have to offer?
Do you mean my comments here or a poem?
Yes, yes, please. Please indulge us with your comments.
Well, I wasn't able to read, hear the piece there, by Deb, but I'm skimming through it right now. If you want, can you get to two other people before you get to me? Because I have to look at it.
That's fine. We can go somewhere else for a few minutes and get back to you. I don't think anybody here has a problem with that. We want to hear everybody's voice here. This is all about words, love, respect, and poetry. So, I think we have Sweet Peace. I think we have Sweet Peace poem up here next. It's
I would like to comment on Debbie's poem, if I could.
Please do wait.
Yes.
I would like to comment on Debbie's poem, if you don't mind.
Yes,
so
sure.
I had it all stacked up. I was going to go, love, brother, love. It's brother love's traveling salvation show. And everyone knows.
Yes.
Because everyone knows the brother love show.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Neil Young song for the night.
Yes.
And I thought she did a great job with this. Very very nicely written, and I like you singing along with it too. You did a great job singing, and so great job, Deb.
Yes.
August
night. Yes.
Do you want me to comment now?
Of course. If you have a comment, please.
Yes, first of all, Deb knows I've always appreciated her poetry there. She has a colorful way of divulging us here with her her crayons here. I just love that notion there of you are the sun, I am the moon, play with me, or play me, make that. It seems so musical, so lyrical, this piece here. But there's a unique attachment here to the colors there, the moist water colors. It just permeates here with the periwinkle, the tangerine. This is just a wonderful illustration here of a cadence, of a lyrical cadence in this piece. And I just love the way she ended there, orchestrating the climax, wrapped in my embrace, commanding the grin that you leave on my face. Wow, two great lines there, Deb. I thought this piece was just marvelous.
Yeah, I thought that was wonderful, too. You know, it's hard. It's hard not to enjoy a Neil Diamond song. His lyrics are just near perfect, and his songs are immortal. They'll live forever. Thank you so much for your comment. That was wonderful. I think we have a poem here by Sweet Pea. Once upon a child's dream, a wolf disemboweled her mother. Let's go there.
All right. As clouds of amber turned to ash, a child laid upon her bed of grass and stared at the northern hemisphere, wandering in the galaxies without a huntsman's axe. On whitewashed fences she did climb and swing from jungle vines into crystal rivers. No bickering mother or grandma to dull her colors. Centurion eyes followed his child in crimson red cape. With skin so fair, crowned in ebony hair, so delicate compared to his drab, like charcoal shadow of shade. Rumors of grandiose lies are told and grow so bold. Fairy tales are make-believe as heroes are villains, and the wicked are brutally brushed in abuse. The wolf was born with a mark of hate, feared from tail to tooth, worship and sacrifice. But a child not showered in love is the heartache he claims. Three plotted against him, his angel in red, using him to assure his death, baiting her into the woods. And to their surprise, fear was not in her eyes. Bright blue eyes giggled as old friends walked and talked until the wolf ran off to devour the old bitch he planned to skin, his tiny charge. As he licked his fur to clean her blood, he prepared to have a little fun with the huntsman who had found his darling, disemboweled lying mother. The dirty scum had his axe against the neck of a helpless child. He had no time to run as claws and teeth detached his head from his body. A wolf lay down his head and begged for understanding. And a fair-skinned girl with ebony hair snuggled up and kissed his nose and now sleeps in his paws forever after. And
Okay. You know I'm wolf, okay? You know I'm wolf.
I know. I do know.
This is, at first I thought it was going to a place that I was going to hate, but it ended up with me loving the main character in this poem. Snuggled up and kisses his nose and sleeps in his paws forever after. Where's our family? They are protectors. They are fierce protectors of family. And I absolutely love this, right? I got to tell you, every word up to the final word is a wonderfully told story. It kind of lilts and leans and makes you think the wolf is the villain. And then at the very end, it tells you who the villain really is. And I absolutely love this. Thank you so much for submitting this poem. I love it.
Thank you.
Let me hear. Let me hear from Hatter. Hatter. Who has seen the wolf?
I love this. I'm rereading it now. I had to call back in. I got bumped again.
Who?
What was the spotlight? This is written to the picture, right?
Yes.
That was the poem? Oh, okay. So you explained it in the picture. Yeah, well done. I can't imagine having an animal that big. It can be terrifying. But
you haven't seen me shapeshift, have you?
Classic writer. He's a classic story writer.
Thank you,
Hatter. Okay.
That's why you pull plugs out. Yeah, I absolutely love that poem. Hatter, thank you for that comment. Do we still have Raconteur?
Well, I ain't going anywhere. I keep telling you that. And no, I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf either. If anything, I'm jealous. I like this very much. The idea of the appearance being deceiving about the wolf and everything like that. I was always one to not question the nature of the beast like that. If the wolf is like, it's a precious gift. But more importantly, like Wolf mentioned, being the protector, you always break our hearts with the story behind the lighthearted and seemingly innocent imagery that you bring to us. Well, I guess with the exception of the obvious gore. But I appreciated this, and it went the way that it should. And this is very well done, sweet.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a wonderful comment. Let me leave you all with these words of comfort, okay? There has never been a documented report of attacks on humans by wolves ever. Never happened. The only way a wolf has ever attacked a human is if he was cornered or threatened. And that is their nature. All beasts have the nature to live, to survive. So I love this. I absolutely love this. Can I hear from Sweet Pea on this one?
Well, I wrote it.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I heard from you. So who am I missing? Do I have Lion on the line? Do I have Lion?
No, she had to go. At the moment, we have Rack and Wayne and Frank and me and Hatter and you.
Well, I don't want to leave Frank out. I haven't heard enough from Frank. So, Frank, give me your thoughts on this poem.
Well, this is a wonderful version of, I know it's not a fairy tale. Well, actually, to some extent, it does sound like a fairy tale. But then you bring us some lines in there that are very vivid there. You say, the wolf was born of a mark of hate, feared from tail to tooth, worshipped and sacrificed. I see a lot of things beyond just the fairy tale here. There's a very, there's some sense of, I would say of, I wouldn't say anger, but it does seem like anger to some extent there. But the thing I like about, of course, you mentioned there the dirty scum had an axe X against the neck. There's some wonderful lines here that she writes here. And the one thing about that tweet that I do enjoy is that she always brings a remarkable sense of storytelling. She's a great narrator. And that's the one thing that you have to have on these pieces here. Because if you don't captivate in the beginning, you can lose your audience like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought this was, I thought she did an outstanding job with this piece. And she's always great in this type of writing. And her voice just conduces like a conductor there. I thought she did a masterful job.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. For a poet to weave a tale, they have to begin with something that grabs your imagination from the beginning and takes you on a journey that you weren't expecting in the first place and makes you believe and fall into that journey and experience the whole event. And I think you're spot on with your analogy. Thank you, Frank. I do appreciate your comment. So how about you, Wayne? Wayne? Wayne, unmute. Did we lose Wayne? Okay. Deborah Lee, what do you think? Deborah, what do you think, honey?
Oh, well, I'm one of Sweet's biggest fans. We tend to call her the Queen of Darkness because she always has such vicious, gory details. You'll have to get her to read her poem about her twin sometime. But as far as this one goes, this was one that was one of the photos that I gave her. And no matter what she brings, she's an amazing poet, and this is totally no exception. You know I love you, Sweet.
I love you too, darling.
I think she's an absolutely marvelous poet. I seem to remember commiserating with her a couple years ago and giving her her moniker. But
yeah, you did. This, by the way, this is the man that gave me Sweet Pea, if you didn't know that. He is the namer of me.
No, I had no
idea. Yeah. Don't pat me on the back. Just don't clap. Just throw money. Okay. But anyway, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Potato pie. Potato pie.
And then my other beautiful hatter has named me Sweet Potato Pie because that's what he's decided that he is I'm Sweet Potato Pie. So.
Well, you know, every man loves pie. Every man loves pie. Because, as you know, pie are square. Okay. So let's go.
Especially sweet potato pie.
Yes.
Hatter, did you comment on this piece? You did?
Yes.
Okay. So we're at an impasse here. I think I have to move on to the next poem. Unless somebody else has a voice that needs to be heard. Speak now, forever hold your pieces.
Speak now, forever hold
all the
your
pieces. Are together. It's your turn to read, Mr. Host.
Huh?
It's your show.
It's my show?
And it's your show, and it's your turn to read.
Oh, it is? Well, let me see. Maybe I need to refresh my page. Let's see what's going on. Oh, my poem. Okay. Oh, my God. I wrote this years ago. Okay. This is a rather depressing poem that I wrote when I was experiencing the loss of love, so bear with me. This is called Night Song. Moonlight streams through my blinded windows. Crickets speak romance with symphonic enthusiasm. Somewhere in the darkness, an owl laments the night, subduing the din with a melancholic drone. Ticking clock assumes a deliberate mechanical cadence, giving rhythm to nature's harmonious overture. A gentle breeze coaxes browning leaves across a moonlit garden. They rustle like the bustles of long flowing gowns at a fancy dress ball. A train whistle mourns softly along distant rails, almost indistinguishable. Steel wheels whisper, tick-click, tick-clack, tick-click, tick-clack. Gave you my heart, you gave it back. A gentle rain ensues, beginning as a soft parade. Late night sky shedding tears on the thirsty flora, kissing the leaves and earth with a weepy mist, then drowning it all with torrential sorrow until nothing can be heard save the heartbreak of overswelled storm clouds. Credence is given to my own heartache. Nature cries in perfect unison with my tears, giving purpose and communion to my lament. Rain is subsiding now, as are my tears. Steel wheels roll closer, a tormented reminder. Click it, click. Gave you my heart, you gave it back. Now my pain grows dull with numbness. Train softly steals away, releasing me from my trance. The downpour has hitched a ride on the rails, leaving me alone in silence like a fading fantasy. Crickets renew their exuberance, undaunted by the passing temper tantrum of a broken-hearted sky. Moon reemerges from passing clouds, glowing calm and serene, ever dependable. Blackbird sings, breaking the night with harmony of its own melody, wistful, hopeful, and sadly comforting. An enchanting, hypnotic rhythm softly reemerges. Don't give up luck. It'll come back. Clock is faithfully ticking the encouragement, and I'm languishing in peaceful dreams. And poem. Okay. I hate self-indulgence, but let's hear from Sweet Pea first.
Oh, I think this is gorgeous. Chris, I love the read. The read was impeccable. There's so much emotion in this, and there's so much kind of luscious darkness to it. I mean, you can just feel the sadness and you kind of feel yourself in that darkness and the nature around it. You put so much feel into it. You know, you talk about making it instead of saying it. I can feel the train and hear the train and feel that heartbreak. You know, I gave you my heart, but you gave it back, and being tormented through that. And don't give up on love. It'll come back. And you just want to go scream, like, really? And you're listening to the blackbirds, and they've got their harmony, and you know, that clock is faithfully ticking. And, you know, will it come back? You just don't know. And you know, is it easier just to follow the sound of the train and just let everything go with the train as it rolls down that track? You know, let love go, let your heart go, let it all go. I mean, this is just a gorgeous story of heartbreak, and maybe hopefully the next train will have love on it. But, you know, my heart's already gone with the last one. I thought it was
holy crap, you've been reading my mail. Okay. You've been reading my mail. You absolutely got the gist of that whole poem, and I think that's wonderful. Can I get a response from Hatter?
Yeah, this is I love this train sounds. That's an old school chick from
Onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Thanks.
Very familiar. Very familiar.
Thank you, Hatter.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Hatter.
With the tick, click, tick, clack, the whisper really added a lot of dimension to the poem, too. And the tone in your voice was showing the emotion that you felt while you were reading it. Really awesome piece. And while you were reading, the Queen of Canada, Lady A, has arrived as well.
Oh, okay. Lady A, welcome. Welcome, Lady A.
Hello.
Who's that knocking at
the
door?
Me.
Somebody ringing a bell.
Me.
Lady A, did you hear the poem? Did you get a chance to read it?
I didn't hear it, but I'm just finishing reading it now. And it's
okay.
Quite spectacular and mournful. I like you use that in your piece. I'm just trying to see what it is here. The railroad sounds, the train on the tracks, have always been kind of a mournful sound, and you have shared that quite brilliantly, I think. And clock is safely ticking encouragement, and I am languishing in peaceful dreams. That's where we all want to be, right?
Yeah, you know, the sound of the train carrying your thoughts away was the whole intent of the poem. I think that it was picked up on beautifully. Thank you so much for your comment. I'm getting a cue. I'm getting a cue from Deborah Lee for the next poem. So, with no further ado, we're going to go to "Paradise in Nature" by Wayne Jentz. Thank you, Lady A. I do appreciate your comments.
You're more than welcome.
Wayne, are you back? Oh. It dropped his call. Okay, I'm going to move this back a little.
Oh, my goodness.
And how about if we get Frank to comment for you, and I'll grab his poem.
Okay, good enough. I need a natural break anyway, so I'm going to mute myself for a second, okay?
Yes,
okay, well, Frank, you go ahead and comment for Wolf, and then read yours for us, please.
First of all, I thought the speech here was, I do agree with what Lady A said. There is a haunt to nature when it comes to the railroads. To me, I could not help but be moved. I took just the prompt there that you put up there, and I could not help but be moved by this piece, this mournful piece. It has such a strong imagery here. I can certainly relate to. That's why I found this melancholy here, dripping here, from your dripping quill. I found the ink there very tangible, very palpable there. It was very vivid throughout these lines here, and I thought you did an excellent job with the wordplay and the use of the uses of diction here, because there's some marvelous words, metaphors that you introduce in this piece here. I like that little reference there to tick-clack. That's haunting there. But you brought this piece here, and because it's a very serious issue you're talking about there. So this is what makes the poem even more superb, because it is a poem that all of us most definitely can relate to: pain, anguish, sorrow, and just going through the phases of love and what's left. Because sometimes what's left of a broken heart are just tiny little pieces, fragments of little atoms that you try to retrieve through the form of memories.
I think you just rewrote my poem. I love it. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Your comment is sentient and beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate
thank
that.
You. Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, it's my pleasure, my friend. I think this is the first time I've actually come across you, my friend. This is the first time we've been on the same airways there. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm very pleased to meet you as well, Frank. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's get together in the future and exchange poetry and thoughts. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All means,
so you know where to find me. I'm at allpoetry.com. Okay, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much.
I had originally put a piece in here, but I think you asked for it was possibly only 300 words. My piece, the original one, was more of a humor piece, but that it was extended to 300 words. So I went for another piece here that was within the guidelines that you provided there. And from that humorous piece, I came on to this piece here, which I wrote 4 hours ago, which is about love. And it is it tackles, like, I would say it goes on about the question. It deals with the question, what is love? So it goes like this. It's called What is
Go
Love?
Go ahead.
What is love?
Go ahead.
Just a question. Yes, I'm reciting already. All right, let me start over again. What is love? What is love? Just a question often asked and sorely misunderstood by those that only think they can pluck its petals. Love is an abstract word that can mean many things to many, and nothing to no one who forsakes its relevance. It has many connotations and names, and its worth is the most priceless treasure that a man or woman will ever cherish. A blossoming flower in the spring, or a cascade of wine in the summer, an array of auburn leaves in the autumn, or a softness of snowflakes in the winter. A morning kiss to greet a lover, a nightly embrace to sleep under the moonlight, an evening dance of the stars, a refreshing color of the light of dawn. Love is the realm of the heart and the secret place of the mind, a sweet nectar or amber honey to soothe the taste buds. For those that never know of its fruit, lust will be all they discover, and obsession all they will ever uncover. To love is not the same as to be loved. Love is the purity of beauty, but is the romance and passion of a special bond, an affection incomparable to other feelings or attachments. It's a thing nurtured and sheltered from the beginning. To love is to smile and to sigh, to sadden or to cry. It's all of which we experience and feel always. We must learn to say the words, I love you, and never stop repeating them before our lover is no longer there. What is love? It's the most beautiful thing ever, or the thing people disregard and abuse. To me, love is like the red rose I hold in my hands, never letting its gentle petals shrivel into the nothingness. End of poem.
That is absolutely fabulous. You know, I'm a lover of romance poems and love poetry, and I can't tell you the number of times I've seen a poet trying to define what love is. I particularly like these stanzas here. A morning kiss to greet a lover, a nightly embrace to sleep under the moonlight, an evening dance of the stars, a refreshing color of the light of dawn. Love is the realm of the heart and the secret place of the mind, a sweet nectar or amber honey to soothe the taste buds. For those that never know its fruit, lust will be all they discover, and obsession all they will ever uncover. That is the gist of this entire poem, in my humble opinion, because, you know, so many people mistake lust for love, and they feel that heat and they feel that passion, but they truly do not know what love truly is. I think you did this brilliantly. I think it's a wonderful piece of poetry, and I applaud you. Wonderful, wonderful poem.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my friend.
Yes. Deborah, I want to hear from you on this one.
Yeah. When Frank brings his romance, he does bring it with great detail. I think I really love a blossoming flower in the spring, or a cascade of wine in the summer, an array of auburn leaves in the autumn, or a softness of snowflakes in the winter. I like how you brought the seasons in with the sensations and the colors. And then towards the bottom it says, to love is not the same as to be loved. Love is the purity of beauty, for 'tis the romance and passion of a special bond. It's a really beautiful, romantic poem. And in the room right now we've got a couple romantic writers.
We certainly do.
And I often call Rocky the king of romance, so maybe you should have him comment on Frank's, just saying.
You know what?
Great job.
I think I'll go with your opinion on this, and let's get Rack to comment on Frank's poem.
You know,
Frank kind of speaks for himself. You know, he's got the language and the accent, and all the little things that draw you into a love poem like that. He hits all the triggers and all the right buttons, and really, really can just get the sap flowing, as it were. Well done, Frank.
Yeah, you know, in salesmanship, there's a term called hitting the hot buttons. I think that's pretty self-explanatory for all of you who know that hitting the hot buttons means pressing onto the right issues and driving it home. I think that Frank did this beautifully in this poem. Hatter? Unmute.
Unmuted.
He's going to have to dial okay. back. It, the studio keeps dropping him. Maybe you can get one of the chicks to come in.
Okay. How about Sweet Pea? How about Sweet Pea or Lady A? Either one or both.
Well, I think love is how we break and how we heal. And I adore how, Frank, how you weave this message throughout the poem. It is a perfect kiss of words to make a lover sigh. Well
wow.
done. Wow. I appreciate that, my love, my dear. I was going to call you my love, my dear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Me too.
If you can make a lover sigh, your thoughts reach halfway up her thigh. Okay.
I'll make sure she says words for my next poem.
I'm sorry, that was kind of a little bit of PG-13, and I apologize. But anyway, who would like to comment? Oh, I'll hear from one more lady on this poem, please. Who else?
Lady
yeah,
A.
I'd like to comment on this. Frank is, Francisco is... very qualified to write in this genre. He has a great gift of the romantic period, writing about the romantic period, and incorporates that kind of writing into his current love poems. And I love this couplet. It says, "We must learn to say the words, 'I love you,' and never stop repeating them, for our lover is no longer there." I think that this is a beautiful couplet. Every couplet is beautiful, but that one stands out to me very much. This is beautiful.
I agree wholeheartedly.
You know who I wrote this for, no, don't you?
Yeah, sorry? I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Lady A, for that wonderful comment.
Thank you very much.
I think that Frank appreciated that. I can hear it in his voice.
Yes, he usually writes
all
about me anyway, so it's all right.
Yes, there you go, Lady A. Divulge our secrets there.
No, I won't tell our secrets.
Secrets are best kept as secrets, so you two get together and talk that out. Okay. So anyway, we have a poem written by Big Birch.
Yeah, I have a
puppets.
Minor disclaimer just so that people that have been turned away for poems with this many words before won't get mad at me. Yes, we don't normally take poems that are over 350 words tops. But the only reason that we do that is so that the read can come in under 3 minutes. Well, I must tell you that although this poem is almost double the words that we allow, somehow it was read in 2 minutes and 55 seconds. That is why I didn't turn it away. So if I've turned you away in the past, I'm sorry, but it's the only way we can fit so many poems into one show is to have a 3-minute cap. With that said, I will push the record button for Big Verge now because he's been waiting out there a long time. Here we go.
Yes. Puppets. You know, I think it's fair to say that puppets reign the world today, from heads of state to those making claims that they command the stage with wordplay arrays befitting of a sage, when in fact they display wordplay that indicates a lack of lyrical gift beyond what pulls their strings, being fake to earn their pay, using stakes that count Jack breaks, playing safe with things they say, because they can't upset who writes their checks, masters who set all types of trends like rappers sent to dumb down head, and spoken word poets whose words expressed define puppets, whose form of text, whether heard or read, is used to express a lot of nonsense, shouting and screaming about their leanings to be the next head whose words have meaning. Well, I'm glad to say, I'm above their ceiling, sipping Darjeeling whilst compiling arrays of free wordplay, never written for pay, but written to display how freedom of expression refuses second-guessing because of those obsessing about making impressions that audiences like. That's not the way I write. I write thoughts from my mind that are my truth defined, not for applause and smiles or big-time dollar signs, because that, to me, defines a mind that's inclined to write weak rhymes, built to weaken minds, which, like Prince said, are just signs of the times, towing lines to get some shine. I guess that's why I'm not recognized, because I'm not inclined to join puppet lines or those with strings that pull and tug at them like links who don't give a about things they bring when they rap and sing. Puppeteers who ring changes that sting, especially when problems aren't stemmed like dubious deaths, grand juries defend. Yes, Ferguson types, where young blacks die, and puppets start to cry for equal civil rights. Well, it all sounds nice, until you find the baddest of rappers crying like hatters, mad and sad and following fads, as if their lyrics stand against the business of spitting sickness that inspires young minds to live by crime. If you're one of those guys, you should recognize the strings of your masters that lead to disasters and stop your squawking when the only ones walking off the street start warring are the same puppeteers who shoot, then sneer at protests made that don't make the grade of affecting change in those who tirade about black-on-black crime on CNN Prime Time. It's time for all these puppets to stand for more than running gums to have that money, because young black deaths aren't funny and are far from light and sunny. That's right, I'm not a guy who's ever had that shine for my wordplay designs. One has to wonder why. Well, maybe it's because I don't write for a prize or simply for applause and strings too tight and taut to stem how my mind roars when thoughts are what it draws about the way the system, like puppet strings, be gripping onto puppets tripping, because people will listen to nonsense they relate due to their chains of fame. They talk about the game that rules the way they play. Well, just like Tosh, I say, I'm here to kill what's fake. So just for those now fronting like Cinderella pumpkins who switch their stance for show, then bend over like hoes, these words are for you pros, because it's time to tell you something. There are those of us who know you're just another puppet.
Holy crap. You know what? In keeping with the current events that I've been looking at on YouTube, before I got banned for hate speech because I said unkind things about our former president, yes, it's true, people. I think that Big Verge has a very powerful message to send about racism and relations amongst people. I don't think that color should be the issue. I think that value should be the issue, and I think he demonstrates this very, very well. I applaud this. I applaud this. I applaud this. I would love to see more poetry like this, and it really appeals to my sense of equity, unity, and brotherhood of man. Big Verge, kudos to you, my friend. I love your poem. Any other comments? How about you, Lady A?
I thought it was very it was quite brilliant, actually, and I have to respectfully disagree with what you had said about it not being about color, because it is about color, in my opinion, because when you, I mean, it's a huge issue. Number one for me is the hopelessness in so many black communities, you know, with education and work and all of those things. The poverty is the root of it all, and the hopelessness. So I think if we can pay attention to those things and resolve and solve, then there'd be a lot less crime, there'd be a lot less violence within the ranks and police violence. I think there's a tremendous amount of prejudice out there. I know for myself, I live in Canada, and I don't see that here very much. I did some searching and some statistics on crimes, and it worked out to like 73% of police killings were for on white people. 3% were black. So we live in a country, for me, is so different than in the United States, because we see prejudice in different forms. but not like it is in the States against black people. So I think there is a viable argument in his poem, and I think that we have to rather, and not to ignore, but we have to get to the root of it. And the root, in my opinion, is the poverty and the hopelessness and the drug addiction, and all of that is tied in together, and we have to start resolving those issues before the rest will resolve itself in the end.
I can't dismiss your line of logic here. I think that a lot of it has to do with poverty, and I think that poverty is caused by the political agendas that put people down in certain how do I say this without being political? I know that this place is not about politics, so I don't want to go there. I agree with you. I think that we really need to address the situation as a human situation, and I appreciate the fact that you addressed it that way. I think I want to hear from Sweet Pea on this one, because she had something to say to Big Birch, and I want to hear her opinion.
Oh, sorry, I got to take a minute to cough. Didn't mean to do that on air. I apologize. I think Verge has a lot to say, just not only about what's going on in the world and what's going on between us as human beings, which is so, so important. What I think is really important is what he's talking about as a young artist and how you cannot continually be the puppet, how you cannot just go along and do what the generation did before you, and the generation is going to continue, that they have a voice, that the country isn't going to be in ruins, that they are intelligent, that there is intelligence out there. And I think that's so important, to not just dismiss what an artist is going to say, because I actually happen to work with a lot of young underground kind of artist, and I see it all the time. It's like, well, they're rappers or they're hard rockers or they're headbangers or whatever, so people want to ignore that. And it's, no, they're not puppets. They have a voice. They have something to say. And I think we really have to listen, because it's complex and it's brilliant. And, you know, I love the artistry and I love what's coming out. And I don't care if you're 80 or you're 8. Sometimes stop and listen to what somebody has to say, because what they have to say is very important, instead of just going along every single day and saying, today is white toast, eggs, and a muffin, and I'm going to have fried chicken and lemonade at night. Just boom. Look at it. Go, go, go. Just go for it. Listen to what somebody has to say.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it's all about.
Love your thoughts on this. I love your thoughts on this. We have just over 30 minutes to finish the show. We have 8 more poems to read. I don't want to cut anybody short. You know, if anybody wants to hear the voice of rappers and be open-minded, you should really listen to Tupac Shakur. His music speaks a lot of truth. And it's not just the black people he's speaking to, it's to the whole nation. So I have it here that we are going to do Memories Ingrained by Lady A. So let's go here. Okay.
Okay. And this poem I wrote a week or so ago, and it's for my children. Memories Ingrained. I don't know how to not be me. I don't know who to be. I don't know how to reshape my soul or how to change my goals. I don't know how to rid myself of guilt or clean what has been spilt. All I know is how I love, my desire to give you what I was deprived of. Fear confuses, causes chaos, imbalances, trips, falls, betrays us. Questions asked go unanswered, understanding abandoned. Travel to the crevices of the brain, hidden deep inside, memories ingrained. We can do better, give all that never was. Future is secured with change. We talk, share, resolve, singular gratification or resolution for all. Good intentions, no one cares. Deaf ears cannot hear. Years of torture racked with guilt, forgiveness can cover like a quilt. Erase the past, live today, the future make way.
I know how to be me. I know who to be. This is how to reshape my soul, to keep my goals, and rid myself of guilt and clean what has been spilt. And I beg forgiveness.
Okay. Right off the bat, in keeping with my own personal philosophy on poets and where the most meaning comes from their poetry, the last stanza speaks to me. I know how to be me. I know who to be. This is how to reshape my soul, keep my goals, rid myself of guilt, and clean what has been spilt. I beg forgiveness. I think that encapsulates the entire message of the poem. I think it was wonderfully written. There are many beautifully used words here, some nice metaphors. I can't imagine anybody not liking this poem, and I think it's wonderful. Your thoughts? Is Hatter still with us? Okay.
Sorry,
I'm gonna take it.
I couldn't find my mute button. No, it dropped Hatter's call, and he didn't dial back. You have Sweet, Frank, me, you, and Lady A.
Okay, Frank, let's hear from you.
Yeah, first of all, I have to commend Lady A. She always writes with such a diligence there and such a, I would say, such a candid way. And this poem here for me was somewhat mournful here, but the message was very strong, very compelling. I love the moral expressed in this poem here. There is so much that we can understand, so much that we can really grasp onto if we bother to listen, if we bother to be conscious of these things. She brings us a message here, you know, the way she talks about, you know, the thought of fear. She talks fear confuses, causes chaos, and she goes on to the next stanza, talk, share, resolve. There is something she's pinpointing here in the usage of the sentience that she's involved in here. I just love that last stanza there, the act of the admission of forgiveness there. And I think this poem here, it says, this is how to reshape my soul. I think it is how, if I'm to understand this piece, ADA, I think that is the gist right there, reshaping your soul.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wonderful message. Thank you so much. Sweet Pea, I want to hear more about your boy Ian Taylor out of Colorado Springs. Can you have a comment on this poem and relate it to what you've just stated in the chat room?
Well, this poem, no, he has nothing to do with Ian. But this is haunting and beautiful, Lady A. In life, we always choose our own path. And regardless of the path we choose, someone is going to get hurt, no matter what. And you don't need to beg for forgiveness.
No.
You never have. You never will. The only person in this world that you might need to forgive is you, for whatever reason. You are a beautiful soul, and I love you.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to beg others for forgiveness. All you have to do is learn to forgive yourself for whatever perceived or actual transgressions have transpired in your life. That is the essence of love. Okay, let's go on to Wayne Gent's poem, and I think I would like Frank to read this.
All right, bear with me here. All right, this is a piece here by my good friend here, Wayne Gent, and it's called Paradise in Nature, and it goes like this. Distant milky waterfall provides gentle roar, pristine log cabin hugs, golden lakeside shore, crimson sky explodes over granite mountain's peak, brown stone leads forth pointed buck to take peak. Gobbler dance into sound, a mallard singing, rainbow of colors, yell, springtime spring, ringing, waterfall skipping in sync to supply brook, geese circling in tandem, taking another look, gunmetal clouds over a mountain ivory mist, baby blue sky captures morning breeze brisk, evergreen waits, ferns, that wild life watering spot. Golden ray, goldenrod rays, plum, temperature surprisingly hot. Resident docking after flamingo fish giggled, a hook. Chimney smoldering in butterscotch breakfast nook. Blue canoe waiting for command to explore. Mother above, sighs in harmonic folklore. End of poem.
You know what I love about this poem? It reminds me of all the times I went up camping, either on Roanoke Mountain or up to Smith Mountain Lake or even down to West Virginia, where, believe me, the mountains are forever, and you feel like you're close to God. And this poem absolutely touches that whole perception of nature. Essence of the imagery he uses and the examples of the wildlife in the poem. And you just have to feel like you're there, because if you can't, then you're not reading the poem properly. I think this is wonderfully written, and I really, really enjoyed it. I want to hear from Deborah. No?
Hello?
Okay.
No, it's my fault. I kept pushing a button and it wouldn't unmute. I was typing the way that I think he's getting to be a real master at using the crayons. He's got this filled with beautiful colors that gave it awesome imagery.
He's using pastels to write his poetry. Yeah, absolutely. I love this. Can you elaborate, please?
Yeah. No. On my Monday shows, I force feed all the poets my crayons, and I've been challenging them to include them in their poetry. And now, even if I do a black and white show, they find a way to use the crayons. I'm so thrilled. But like this one, from the very first line, distant milky waterfall provides a gentle roar. He's got sights and sounds in there, and you could almost smell the waterfall. So it's a gorgeous piece, and you read it beautifully, Frank.
Yes.
No, thank you very much.
Beautifully said, Deborah. Thank you. And Frank, great read, by the way. I appreciate your voice. You have a wonderful voice. Can we hear from Raconteur?
He either got dropped or had to hang up.
Okay. How about you, Lady A? What did you think of this poem by Wayne?
Actually, I was sorry. I was writing a note. I was writing a note to Deb. Sorry.
Do you need time to compose? We'll get back to you.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do Brother Wolf, Sister Moon by Phil the Poet. And I think, is Phil the Poet here, or do we need a reader?
No, I figure we would do the four recordings that you have left, and then the last two of the night need readers. So
okay.
If you guys are on that, I will go ahead and push play for Phil.
Okay, good deal.
Let me see if this is Rack back first. One more moment. Rack, is that you?
Uh-huh.
I'm back.
Glad you called back. All right, you're just in time to hear us push play for Phil the Poet, so here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Brother Wolf, Sister Moon. Come and walk with me, Sister Moon. Tell me of all that the nighttime brings, the peace that comes upon the land as you whisper dreams into my head. Dear Brother Wolf, you are also of the night, and I am here because of your lonely call. I've come to accompany you along your journey. A wolf is not a wolf without his pack. I know, but tell me the secrets of the night, just to take my mind off this long journey. I will protect you from any danger in the way, as long as you walk with me, Sister Moon. I will walk beside you and light your way. I will be your guide, for I know the path you must take to reach your destination, to rejoin the bosom of the pack. Sister Moon, I know you will make my way prosper and safe from the claws of death. But keep me company just a little longer before the sun calls you home. The day is about to shine, Brother Wolf, and it is time for me to return home. Look, dear brother, and see your pack eagerly waiting for the alpha male. End poem.
Okay. Phil. Phil the poet. You have touched my woven soul. Absolutely adore this rite. I think my favorite stanza here is, I will walk beside you and light your way. I will be your guide, for I know the paths. That's the lichen path, by the way. You must take to reach your destination to rejoin the bosom of the pack. Sister Moon, I know you will make my way prosper and safe from the claws of death, but keep me company just a longer before the sun calls your home. This is absolutely one of the best poems I've ever read in my life. You all know I love wolves. This one touched me deeply. Well done. I think I want to hear from Rockantor on this one, please.
Yeah, I love the style of writing that Phil brings out, and wolves is a great topic. I'm preaching to the choir on that one, but you know, the personification of being like the, I won't say a family pet, but the idea of being like the dog, the loyalty and their ability to be fierce and gentle at the same time, protective and monogamous. It's just a great subject and lends itself well to writing about friendship and love.
Yes, it is indeed. Okay, ladies and gentlemen and fellow poets, I don't want to cut any of you off. I love all your voices and all your input, but we have a little time to go and much ground to cover. So with Deborah's help, we'll get to the next recorded sessions, please.
Awesome. And I am getting that now. I was just telling Phil in my comment that you were going to be really touched by that and that it was awesome that he went and dug out a poem that had wolves in it just for you. That was
it broke my heart and made my heart sing at the same time. I just think it's one of the most wonderful poems I've ever read.
Awesome. Okay, so here it comes.
Okay. So let's go.
Okay.
He doth conceal so frail. He doth
so,
conceal
so frail. Let's get our message.
Some playing, and she's playing it, but the volume's too low. Yep.
Yes.
No harm so beautiful, alas. Please.
Let me start it over.
No alarm.
Yeah, and give me the link so I can read along, please.
You got to refresh the page. It's on the page.
Okay, I gotcha.
Let's try this again.
He doth conceal so frail. He doth conceal so frail. I meant not to encroach had I offended hail some hastily approach. For intending no harm so beautiful, alas, please, I meant no harm. Or maybe shall I pass, obscure indeed aspired, for thou art, Cherishu, no shame to be admired, from that gaze intent to, O gentleman, dear sire, no truth his eyes conspire. My torment answered eyes are longing for not lust, but should you give despise no longer more than trust, for silence shall disown the truth but bittersweet, and if the truth be known, what faith withdrew this meat, your doubts of undue scorns to dwell upon thy own, should see the rose for thorns to prune for once unknown, came amongst the brambles, circling did it ramble.
Well, I gotta say, yeah, this is Shakespearean in feel. It's wonderfully penned. I enjoy it. I don't think I could have written better on the subject. And I totally enjoyed this piece. Wonderfully written. How about you, Lady A? What's your comment?
I quite enjoyed it, too. I have to agree with you on the tone and the way it was written. I think that it was Old English, and Titus always writes these fabulous poems like this, and I love the old speak, and it just, the whole thing was beautiful. I love the way he writes, and he does it like this all the time, and I think Frank does similar. And I think that I remember being in high school reading Shakespeare and being enthralled by it. And so this is quite a similar feeling I get when I read him. It's just beautiful.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lady A. We are limited in time, so we're going to go to the next one. The Day I Saw a Snail Drinking Water. Let's go to this.
I have always been cynical. Used to live grand, now in squalor. My outlook on life changed since the day I saw a snail drinking water. Elections, real or not, the streets and avenues of slaughter. I don't even care anymore since the day I saw a snail drinking water. Finances a mess, hair uncombed, change from pajamas, I don't bother. Shoes untied, holy socks, I'm not upset since the day I saw a snail drinking water. Get the Rona or not, blah. 401k gone, stock market in the gutter. Root leaks don't bother me since the day I saw a snail drinking water. Used to have it all till I saw the light. Sold everything, became a squatter. Possessions mean nothing to me since the day I saw a snail drinking water. Care about no one in TV or movies. Couldn't care less about Harry Potter. I don't keep up with current events since the day I saw a snail drinking water. It's the little things in life, don't you know? Please give me a dime or a quarter. Nothing in life means anything any longer since the day I saw a snail drinking water.
Well, I always love to hear from a country boy, and I think that he did a good job with this one. It's very entertaining. I'm trying to discern whether his accent was Carolina.
Yeah.
Particular about that, but it ain't that important. Hey, are we going to have one comment because we have very little time left to do this show. So how about you, raconteur?
Amusing little poem. I would have been more interested if I saw a snail drinking beer, but, you know, maybe beer's a kind of water. it was an amusing thought. The pinnacle of epiphany is seeing a snail drinking water changed his life. I don't see a corollary or any kind of pun or anything behind that image. So, you know, it's just a simple thought. It made his day seeing the snail drinking the water, and now nothing else matters. It moved him. So, you know, he told the story in a beautiful way. You know, I guess substitute snail drinking water for whatever moves you. But it was an interesting, thought-provoking type of poem.
Yeah, it's a wonderful poem, and if you, any country boy knows that if you put a saucer of beer out in the yard, the slugs will drink it and then die. Okay, thank you very much. Let's move on to Stephen 76 with Room Temperature is Fine.
Oh.
Room Temperature is Fine by Stephen 76. The waterworks begin as enriched rips through the formica, hunger pangs screaming from the gut turn to weeps of anguished disbelief. Crumbled, crusted spheres of dough roll onto linoleum as frigid Peter Pan lacerates Schwebel, while preserves idly stand sealed in horror. Simple craving for jellied grapes and whipped legumes goes unquenched because the peanut butter was kept in the refrigerator. End poem.
I've always loved Stephen. I love his poetry. I wonder if he has ever had Stroop waffles leak onto his kitchen floor. How about you, Sweet Pea? What do you have to say about this poem?
Well, it is, of course, to me, Stephen and his food are always intriguing. But all of it is just funny. And since he compares it to relationships and, you know, poor little jelly and poor little legumes. Nothing is satisfied in this poem. Not a dang thing. Everybody is left just wanting more because of one thing, somebody screwed with the peanut butter. There's just so much he has to say here.
Yeah. Have you ever had a Stroop waffle?
No.
Oh, my goodness. They're to die for. Anyway, let's go on to the next one.
Say what that's called, a street waffle?
Stroop waffle. Look them up on Amazon.com. Stroop waffle. They are made by Belgian brothers. They are two waffle cookies with caramel gooey in the center. Very nice.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay,
yes.
So here's where we're at, sir. We have two left. We have this one by Simon Guest, and it needs a reader. And then we have one by Budo, which also needs a reader. And then you're done. So just need to get some... A final reader for Simon.
I'll read Simon, if you don't mind. So this
you're
is called Untouched. This is called Untouched. The raven soars as men scream and shout defiance to the greater good. Why do they not kneel or step back to what they cannot stop? They are those who have nothing to lose except for life itself. Even then they shall fight defiance even within death, sword and shield at their ready. They are the untouched. They see what is to come to become of us. Brothers of all creeds and colors, standing shoulder to shoulder, they are mankind's last stand. A thin line versus hordes that the madmen and the overthinkers shall have their day. This is where I will stand, left a field with sword and shield in hand. They come with silence, possessed and oppressed, sure and swift. We are the noise within, the shout, the scream within the pit of the stomach. They are the extreme carrying winds of great magnitude, strong and violent. We stand silent, yet we fight on, each of us carrying so much upon our shoulders. We may fall within life, but we shall still fight within death, always knowing what's at stake. They forget that each of us have embraced the darkness. We are one with our thoughts. Death will not give us peace. It will give us clarity. Everything is bigger on the inside. Soul keepers will fly high. Defiance shall bring solidarity. Solidarity will bring unity. Our guides throughout multiple planes of consciousness are echoes from within, battle after battle. They bring us pain and suffering, waking us from a false reality. My life is accidental, a part of your imagination. I am not here. Yet with my brothers, I fight an everlasting battle enveloped within its madness. We are a blip within an inkling of sense, the instinct of a last second. We are still too few with tiredness prevailing. We need your help. Become one with the light. We are a beacon to others within the darkness. Feel the winds of time. Hear our silence. Become an enlightened. Have faith in yourself and your abilities. Believe in what you can really do. Life shall begin with you. Death shall begin with you. Nothing will end. To fight on is our mission. to stand. Our order is to have faith is our will end poem. And let's hear from Frank.
Well, first of all, that was a great rendition there. I thought it was superb, superb reading there. I'll be brief. I know we don't have much time here. I just really love the way this poem encaptured the concept of empowerment. There is that notion there does just exude throughout this poem. It's very intense, very raw. It's just got a lot of power in the words there. And I love the lines, "We stand silent, yet we fight on." I think that's the essence of this poem here.
Wonderful comment. Do we have time for one more? Let's stretch the boundaries a little bit, Deb. Let's get this done.
Absolutely. The next one you need a reader for is for Budo.
Okay. Sweetie, are you still with me?
Yes.
Why don't you read Budo's poem for us, please?
Okay. This is Cool Hand by Budo. Look, like a cool sip of water he was, one to look up to, a man's man, a rock almighty tall and proud when things got hot and heavy, slipping through them shackles of life, spitting law and order. He was his own man, comfortable in parched skin, following a crooked path that nobody else tread. Except well-worn prints of them tattered feet, kicking up swanny dust in solemn, sullen faces, all while laughing at best grin and shouting, "Catch me when you can." Yeah, a cool hand he was, a man's man till the end, shining those pearly whites straight at that beast, the one with no eyes, mirrored evil showing, them lies of justice, the one taking the plunge of savagery like a jilted hunter, that one claiming the spoils of the prey's bound and captured. Then again, so cool wasn't. End poem.
What a fantastic poem, and what a wonderful reading rendition of that was. And I tell you, if we have nothing left for tonight, let me say right here and now, this was my first show. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. All of you have been very, very invigorating and wonderful guests. And I think what we need to do right now is everybody give themselves huge credit for participating in this wonderful adventure. And I look forward to seeing you all again very, very soon. Thank you so much. We are love, respect, a team of voices. Thank you.
Fabulous.
Take care, my friend.
Fabulous show, Wolf. Great
job.
Amazing poetry, everyone. And the next time you can check in to see or hear Wolf Spirit is May the 26th for his next open poetry date.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Everybody be here because we got a lot of fun to be shared. Thank you so much. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, everybody. You are all wonderful.
Take care. Take care, my friends.
Take care, Heather.
Yes.
Take care, Wolfie.
Yes.
Thank you for long talk. Goodbye.
Take care, Lady A.
Night, everyone.
You all. Love you. Congratulations on your